work globally as a speaker, retreat facilitator, medium, and mentor. My mission is to awaken and realign you back to your magnificence, your power, and infinite potential. As the founder of the Rise with Love philosophy, I'm honored to share wisdom that will create the expansion of joy, abundance, love, and freedom to flow into your life. If you're ready, I want to hear you say yes, because the most wonderful things will unfold for you when you embark on the journey to Rise with Love. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode. Rising with Love is your own personal journey and one which is filled with many beautiful people who enhance the feeling of unity and love in your life. And today, I'm so excited to introduce you to a fellow soul sister of mine. I know you'll adore her. She's just such a beautiful person. Her heart is what transmits love to everyone who gets the opportunity to connect with her. She's such a gem, and I feel so blessed the universe brought us together many moons ago. Her mission is to support others in returning to home of their hearts, to recognize their own worth through self-love and acceptance, and to help people to remember the truth of who they truly are and assist them in creating their best life. You can totally tell why her mission is why we are soul sisters. It is my greatest joy to introduce you to my beautiful friend, Karen Slater. Hello, gorgeous.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you. And yes, we have been connected for such a long time. So thank you so much for having me on.
We've had a few adventures together, which has been really awesome. And I've loved seeing you blossom and just be such a trailblazer at the moment. You are doing such incredible things for humanity. And I just think back to one of my favorite things that we've probably done together has to be in England when we did a lot of the sacred sites. And I was looking through some photos of that actually just recently. And I'd forgotten that we'd climbed the Tower of Tor. Is that how we call it? Yeah, which is the Archangel Michael Tower. And I remember just some of the photos that we've taken from there, our faces are just so happy and beautiful. And it was just being in that frequency was amazing. Yeah, you can definitely feel the energy in there. And I'd love for you to share like one of your favorite memories that we've had together.
Do you know, I just absolutely adored being in the UK and being on that journey. And the fact that, you know, you were the first person that I spoke to there that reached out to me. And I was like, I'd never been on such a journey on my own. I was absolutely terrified. And I just remember all of the laughter and how many times we literally just lost it laughing so hard. I had never really laughed that hard with other people before in such a beautiful energy as well. We went on the Laughing Tree. I loved the Laughing Tree. Being in Glastonbury, I just really loved that. And following Linda and everywhere that she took us. And it was just such a beautiful connection to have somebody there that wasn't so serious. You know, it was a serious vibe. You know, we were doing serious things. But to actually have two people there that I felt safe with, that I felt supported with, that accepted me for who I was and allowed me the space to have my meltdowns. I'm sure I had a couple of little meltdowns being so far away from family and everything else. So that was just amazing. You know, Stonehenge, I can't choose just one of them, but in all of those amazing experiences that I've had, you were there and so was Linda. And I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah, there are so many moments that we've experienced and you've come to New Zealand and we've done tours together and all of that kind of stuff. And when the three of us get together, It literally just is a giggle fest and I love it. And I think all three of us had never gone on anything so huge ever before on our own, and probably why the universe brought us together. And I'm so grateful to you for holding space for myself and allowing me to grow during so many experiences that we've shared together, which I know you've got a very interesting story about how all of this kind of happened. So can you share what triggered your awakening?
My awakening, wow. My awakening, actually, my reawakening, I actually call it, started at the end of 2013. And I was working in a very stressful government job. There was really intense management issues that were occurring. And my fight or flight response was just in constant overdrive. I was suffering from constant migraines. I had high stress and anxiety. And being an empath as well, I just didn't know how to deal with all of my emotions and everyone else's emotions and my own personal issues that I was going through. And I was struggling with addiction at that time as well. And it was really, I was scheduled to complete my master level of Reiki in the February of 2014. And I knew on a subconscious level and in my heart that my life needed to change if I was actually going to take that next level with that. And I went through a really traumatic experience with a friendship breaking down, and I was literally on my knees to the universe, and I really just said, please help me to save me from myself, because I'm going down a path that I'm never going to be able to get out of. I was at risk of losing everything, and I just didn't know who to reach out to. I didn't know who to speak to. I really didn't have anyone who could. I'm sure if I looked, I could have, but I knew I needed help on a spiritual level. I knew it was my soul that was slowly dying. I guess that sounds quite traumatic, but that's what it felt like. And I knew that I needed guidance that was above anything that anyone that was around me in human form could actually give to me. And so I made a promise to the universe that if the universe helped me to get out of the mess that I was in and to help save me from myself, that I would commit my life to owning all of the gifts that I was born with, and I would be of service wherever the universe guided me. And I like to think that I've maintained that commitment and promise that I made to the universe still today.
That is so beautiful. I love, because we hear so many people get to this point. We get to the point where it's like, I don't know what to do anymore. Here I am. Save me, please. And what I love is you really have taken on all of your gifts and your abilities and your talents, and you are just shining such a positive light to humanity through this incredible, I want to call it the energy of love, because that's what I believe it is. And, you know, you have this motto, which I so resonate with, which is to awaken the spirit within. Now, what does that mean to you? And how do you do this with your clients?
Perfect. Thank you. And thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate that.
I'm sure there's more kind words to come.
Awaken the spirit within to me is what I feel was my journey. I committed in 2014 to a daily meditation practice of 5 minutes morning and night. And that's what I was guided to do. And it was through that practice that I felt physically something inside of me wake up. Whether it was my soul, my heart, the consciousness of the universe, I felt it respond. And to me, spirit embodies everything that is life. You know, the spirit of the universe, the spirit of all that is in everything. And we are examples and expressions of that divine light, that divine love. And it was the unconditional love that I felt and experienced through those early days. And they weren't easy, because I had to come face to face with all of my mistakes, with all of my self-hatred and loathing, and with all of my not being able to forgive myself and wanting to punish myself for the choices that I'd made in my life. And so when that essence within me woke up and I could feel it viscerally in my body, that was how I was able to heal. Being able to accept the unconditional love that is inside of me and coming through me from the universe was really what I could say saved me and allowed me to heal on such a deep level. And so when I'm working with my clients, it's about helping them to self-identify, giving them tools and practices to self-identify that this essence is within them, that they have a spirit within them that loves them so completely and so unconditionally. And for them to recognize that there is nothing that they could do on this earth in this human experience that will ever be judged by the universe, that will ever, you know, we do that to ourselves. And if I can just help one person to connect to that presence of spirit, divine essence within their own hearts, the truth of who they really are, then I feel that I'm doing what I'm here to do.
Oh, I love it. I really feel your genuineness. I mean, I've known you for many years now, and I know that you are just an incredible person. You are such an example of what a light worker really needs to be. I really believe that. And I see the transformations that you are creating, the ripples all around the world, which we'll delve into very soon. You are someone who I know came here with such a big mission. You wouldn't have had the life that you had. So what is the biggest myth you believe you're here to assist humanity to bust through?
Do you know, in all of the work that I've done, just with myself, not only just with myself, but also with all of the clients that I've worked with and just in conversations, it is my feeling and my belief that we are born or develop the belief early that there is something wrong with us, that we are bad, that we're broken, that on some level, and you know, and that could be traditional roles that perhaps churches have played, because if we go back through history, you know, religion was huge in all of our history. And it's all about we've sinned and we're bad and we need to confess and we need to, you know, everything that we're doing is wrong. And that's been my personal experience, having been brought up as a Catholic. And I questioned at the age of 10, I was questioning what I was being taught. And my mum actually took me to our local priest, and he was a beautiful man. I know there's a lot of stigma around that, but I was very blessed that he was a beautiful, loving man. And I had a conversation with him, and I remember him asking me what, because my question was, why do I have to go to church to prove that I believe in God? And what they were teaching me in that structure was not my personal experience that I was having and had been having from as long as I can remember. And he asked me to talk to him about what my experience with, you know, back then the word was God, with God was. And for me, it was about feeling loved and feeling good and feeling like, you know, I'm a good person and I'm supported and I could feel that energy in nature and I could feel it wherever I was. I felt it viscerally wrap its arms around me when I was scared and asked for help. This beautiful sense of peace and calm would wrap around me. And he was beautiful, and he actually supported me in all that I was saying. And afterwards, and I validated this with my mum, he said to my mum, I actually couldn't argue with her. She's right. Not that my mother told me that at the time, mind you. And so I can't help but feel, you know, obviously as I got older, that feeling came that there was something wrong with me, that I was bad, that I'm not good. And so many people, and you, I'm sure, will know this as well or experience this as well. When people come for readings, you can feel that there's a fear in them that we're going to validate the belief that they have inside of themselves that they're bad. And it's bullshit. Or can I say?
Or no, that's fine. Or even that they're bad for coming to see us.
Yes. And that they're doing something wrong or they're bad because they've made a decision to leave a relationship that was toxic or harmful, or they're bad because they don't feel overly maternal as a mother and they want more than just being a mother. And they feel bad because, you know, they can't ask for anything for themselves, yet they give everything to everybody else. And so my underlying constant that has come through with all of the people that I've worked with is there's something wrong with them. And so I guess for me, what I'm wanting to help people to identify and remember is that in the eyes of the universe, in the eyes of love, there is nothing that they can do that could ever be considered, deemed, judged, or looked upon as being less than perfect for the beautiful souls that they are.
Oh, I absolutely love that way of looking at life. And it's, you're so right. So many people are judging themselves. And I've actually talked about this in another podcast that I recorded. And it's so disempowering to think these thoughts about yourselves. And I love that this is what you're here to help humanity to bust through. I love it. And I know that a lot of the incredible work that you do involves meditation. You are such an advocate for meditation, and potentially this could be part of helping humanity to feel their worth, right? Why is meditation such a fundamental part of what you do, but also the work that you do with your clients?
So it's such a fundamental part of what I do, primarily because it saved me from myself. That's what the universe guided me to. And it allowed me to reconnect to that deeper essence of myself. It allowed me to heal the addictive patterns of behavior to substances, thoughts, beliefs, actions that I had been experiencing for a good 10 years prior to starting a daily practice. And what it's also allowed me to recognize is that we are not our thoughts, that we are more than that. We are more than the limiting beliefs that we have about ourselves. We are more than the judgments that we have about ourselves. And it allowed me to heal the trauma in my body. It allowed me to rewrite my thinking and beliefs about myself, because when we are in a meditative state, you know, we have 100,000 thoughts a day and we're only aware of 5% of those thoughts. And the majority, 90% of people that I speak to, if I ask them if those 5% of those thoughts are their chi squad in the background, telling them how awesome they are, telling them they're loved, telling them they're safe and protected and that they are doing the best that they can, nobody can say yes to that. I could never say yes to that. My thoughts about myself were so damaging to my self-esteem, to my self-worth, to any decision that I made in my life. And so it's from that has become the desire for me to share this with as many people as I can. But what I also know is what I do personally in my temple, when I go to that place of love, when I go to that place of peace, we are all connected. Quantum physics has proven that. Every living thing on the planet is actually connected energetically. And so when I'm doing that practice, not only am I doing that for myself, I'm having a ripple effect and an impact on the collective consciousness. And when working with my clients, I have watched women, and this is what I love, because I do truly believe that we are born intuitive. And I know you know that as well. That's our natural state of being. You know, that's how we're wired. And I've watched women just come to a regular meditation class over, you know, a 2 year or so period, who have grown and expanded and become intuitive and beginning to listen to their heart and trust the voice of their heart, become confident and to really be able to view the world in a different way, to be able to cope with life stresses, to be able to deal with their anxieties, to have the confidence to have conversations and express their feelings and emotions in such a powerful way. And the intuitiveness of that has really been such a pleasant surprise for me, because I also teach development, but these women have achieved that just through meditation. And without the intention of becoming intuitive, they have become far more intuitive in their own lives. And they've become empowered to to make choices in their lives that when they first arrived on my doorstep, I know they would never have been had the confidence or the courage or the strength to actually make those choices or even have been able to identify what it is that they were wanting to make a choice about. And obviously when I work one-on-one with clients, it's more intense, but that's just an example of the power of a regular meditation practice and what I've witnessed in the people that I've worked with. And I just think that's so incredible.
One of the things I remember about you and all the traveling that we've done together is you would put on your headphones and you were like, I'm having my meditation time. And I was like, ugh, okay, whatever, hippie. Because I did not understand the power of meditation, even though I used to teach meditation, right? I would yo-yo with my own practice. And it wasn't probably until the end of 2019 that I went, you know what? There really is something in this. And I can't say that I'm 100% meditating every day, but I notice for when I don't. But when I do meditate, oh my gosh. And I would say it's, you know, 99% of the time I, you know, meditate every day. And when I do, oh my gosh, it's like there's so much creativity, there's so much wisdom, there's just so much that happens. And I'm so much more connected to who I am. And that's the part that I never really, really got before until I committed, this is going to be something that is non-negotiable. And I love that I've seen you, literally, she is every day, guys. She would put in her headphones and meditate. And you would just, you always were someone who was so calm and connected. And I was like, I never put the two and two together that that's probably due to the meditation. So my message to anyone is, if you haven't yet adapted a meditation practice because you're like not sure how to do it or if it's going to do anything for you. Yes, it is. It is going to open up everything that you're really wanting. And what I also know that you do with people is that you are an amazing healer. And I've seen you heal people at live events that we've done, like on the spot, or I believe, you know, you channel the healing, right? And so the things that you do is a lot to do with self-love and acceptance. And you heal a lot of people who struggle with that. Kieran, why the heck do we struggle with self-love and acceptance?
You know, it is my belief, especially as women, you know, men struggle as well. You know, I have an adult son and I've seen his struggles and, you know, I've seen men who struggle with this as well. But primarily all of the subliminal marketing is directed at women. And there are young girls out there now who are ages 4, 5, and 6 who are going home and saying to their mums that they're fat. And I'm like, oh my God. And we are trained from such a young age through media and everything that is subliminal, TV shows, music, everything is aimed at telling us that unless we look a particular way, we're not good enough. Unless we weigh a particular weight, we're not good enough. Unless we're wearing a particular style of clothing, we're not good enough. Unless we're wearing a brand of perfume, we're not good enough. Unless we're using a skincare product or getting, you know, Botox and fillers, we're not good enough. Unless we're in that perfect relationship, we're not good enough. Unless. And that doesn't even take into account how, so from the ages of 0 to 7, we make all of our primary decisions about ourselves and about life. And so you might have an experience as a young child where you walk into a room and something is said that embarrasses you, and you will, through your filters, look at, okay, this is what I'm wearing. This is how I look. This is what I've just said. And me being this way has made me feel this uncomfortable and embarrassed and shamed inside of myself. Therefore, because we don't have the resources at that age to really be making these decisions, but we will say to ourselves internally, it's because I'm this way. That person does not love me, or that person is angry with me, or that person doesn't accept me. And then we will spend the rest of our lives trying to be something other than what we are. And, you know, and that just gets compounded throughout our life as we grow. Our teenage years are horrendous. They're the worst, you know, trying to find our own identity and then trying to fit in with everybody out. And so that just compounds over and over and over again. And in neuro-linguistic programming, there are four quadrants of visual recall, visual construct, kinesthetic, where we feel, and our auditory digital. And so when I was doing my training, I actually had trauma in my auditory digital. And now this is the area, this is our internal dialogue. And I had created trauma in that area based on how I had talked to myself throughout my life. And when I did my master's in this in 2018, I had actually healed that trauma, but that was through the work that I was doing in rewriting my self-talk. And so this is why, you know, we might have a love and we love somebody and they don't love us as much as what we love them, or they treat us badly. You know, instead of leaving a toxic relationship, we blame ourselves and we go, it's because I'm not good enough. It's because I'm not doing this good enough. It's because I'm not lovable enough. It's because I don't look good enough. And then we don't look at the other person or the situation and go, hang on a minute, I deserve better than this. I'm worthy of more than this, and make healthy decisions based on that. No, we blame ourselves and go, it's because I'm not good enough. I have to try harder. I have to be better. I have to look better in order to feel loved. And meditation, like you said, is such a crucial place of safety. It's like a sacrament, you know, of coming to this place of holiness within ourselves, where we are holy, we are whole, we are holy, we are healed, and we are enough. And I literally give thanks and gratitude to the universe every day for taking me down that pathway. And that doesn't mean we're immune to it. We do the work, but it doesn't mean that we're still immune to having those doubts about ourselves and questioning ourselves. But having a daily practice of meditation allows you to come back to writing, to come back to alignment, where you can identify more easily and more quickly that those thoughts that you're having about yourself are not true. And there is the work of Katie Byron. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she is amazing, an amazing, amazing spiritual teacher. And she teaches that, is this really true process? And so that's really helped me as well. I will have a thought and a judgment about myself and I'll spiral into it. And then, because I have been doing the practice every day, I become aware of those thoughts. I'll stop myself and then I will ask, is this really true? Is this really true? Is this really true? Is this really true? And that's where I can separate the ego mind to my heart self.
Oh, I love that. I felt really emotional as you were talking the whole time. And I was thinking to, you know, I don't know if it was just going back to what my childhood would have been like and what stories I would have made up, or just feeling the collective consciousness that would listen to this conversation and what they created as a child. And it just makes me go, oh my gosh, why do we do this to ourselves, really? Why is it that we come into this, you know, incredible school, this playground that is Earth, and put ourselves through something like that? And ultimately, I believe it's because we're here to deconstruct and relearn love in all forms. And I love the technique that you've just shared there about, is this true? And I think that's such a powerful thing to ask ourselves, because we do, we have these thoughts and these judgments and we're like, that's not my paradigm. That's not my reality. And through that work, I know that you have created some amazing things in yourself. You have really got the knack now with the universe on this whole manifesting journey. What are some of the most incredible experiences that you've had now? And can you share some juicy tips on how we can do those things too?
Do you know, part of my healing journey as well was I was led to Esther Hicks, which is the queen, Abraham Hicks. It's a collective consciousness that she channels. She is the queen of law of attraction. And so each time that something like law of attraction or manifesting, and then there was Gabrielle Bernstein through her work, that would come up, I was like, well, I'm going to test this. All right, universe, I'm going to test this. I'm going to use what you're teaching me and I'm going to put it into practice. And I started out in my relationships and I started out with, okay, this is what I want to create. And so for me, it was all right. I would get the creative nudge from my spirit team to start a meditation class. And so I would sit and I would sit there and I would think about, who are the ideal people that need what I have to offer? Who is going to, I guess, benefit? Where are they at? What are they going through? What do they look like? What's their journey? What are they questioning in their lives? And then I would use my journaling practice every day to give thanks and gratitude to those people as though they were already here. And so my language with the universe is I don't ask the universe, I thank the universe for it every day as though I've already got it. And that is one of my biggest tips for manifesting. And that's one of the biggest things that has helped me to create. For a long time, since 2015, actually, when we went to the UK and went on that spiritual sites tour, it's been in my consciousness and my heart a desire to actually do retreats with women, to have other women experience the amazing connectedness and the expansion and the spiritual growth and the personal growth that we had when we were in the UK. And granted, it took me some time of self-work. You know, I'm not immune from doing the daily self-work, of really feeling that I was worthy of doing that, that I had the knowledge and the wisdom and the connectedness to be able to support women through that. And so recently in February this year, I was accepted as a facilitator at the Ultimate Girls Week Away retreat in Fiji. And that was just, it met all of what I had been asking the universe for. But I guess we start out with a request, don't we? Our initial idea is a request to the universe, and then we spend the rest of our time thanking the universe for it, but also letting it go. We say thank you and then let it go and stop looking for where it is and stop seeking for where it is and stop looking for proof. We just trust. There's trust and faith that's involved in this, that when the time is right, it will be delivered to you. So I had put my request out to the universe. I never let go of that desire and that dream and constantly gave thanks for it. And then when the time was right, now the time was right because I had stepped into another level of myself. I had up-leveled really, and that was all of 2018, was just me going within and preparing and up-leveling. And you know, this was such an amazing experience because Elizabeth Gilbert was the keynote speaker and I love her work. I just think she's such a beautiful human being. And so not only did I get to run my meditation workshops and connect with so many beautiful women, hundreds of women from all over the world, I also manifested some unique interactions with Elizabeth Gilbert while I was there. And so my tips on manifesting are: have your idea, feel it, see it, know it, trust it, journal every day your thanks and gratitude for it as though you've already got it, but then let it go and trust that the universe will actually bring it to you at the time that is right for you. If I had been given this opportunity 12 months prior, I know that in that space, in that situation, I wouldn't have been completely ready to step into myself fully in order to be the best version of myself. Whereas when this occurred in February 2020, I felt so comfortable in my own skin. I felt so connected to the beauty of life, to the universe. I trusted my own ability to be able to support all of these women, no matter where they were at on their journey. And I didn't feel any more or any less than anybody else. I just felt completely equal to everyone. I didn't think I was better. I didn't think anyone else was better than me. There was none of that, you know, comparing, because we compare ourselves to everybody else. There was none of that. And I just felt that I was perfectly aligned and in the right place at the right time. So that was probably the biggest example I have of manifestation that I've experienced in my life.
And that trip looked like it was amazing. And for those of you who don't know who Elizabeth Gilbert is, think Eat, Pray, Love. She is the author of that particular book and amongst many other incredible experiences that she shares through her other books as well. And I just love what you talk about is giving thanks to the universe for it already happening even before that it does, right? And that's kind of like the key. We always say, when I have this or when it happens. Well, if you keep saying that, it's never really going to happen. You've got to always come to the energy of it's already happened. And I love the giving thanks part. So I think that's a really good tip for everybody to start embodying, is giving thanks for it already manifesting and into your life, because it already has. You're just playing catch-ups, really. That's all that's happening. And the universe is always working with you and co-creating the life that you want. And I want to ask you something a little bit different. If you could have a conversation with anybody that's ever walked the planet, fictional or not, who would that be, my love, and why?
I would love to sit down and speak with Joan of Arc. When we were in the UK, at the end of that trip, I met my sister in Paris, which was just amazing. I never thought I'd get there. And we went to a place called Mont Saint-Michel, which really it's a church built on a little island in the middle of nowhere. And it's a sacrament and it's all Archangel Michael. And it runs on Archangel Michael's ley lines from the UK. And there was a dream that actually got me there the night before. My sister and I weren't going to go. We decided it was a full day trip. We would go and do something else. And that night I had a dream that I was shown a map of Archangel Michael's ley lines. And I was shown that it ran from where we were in Glastonbury down to this Saint Mont Michel. And I woke up the next morning and I said to my sister, oh my God, I've had this dream. And I Googled, because you know that's what you do, you Google everything. And so I Googled his ley lines, and yes, like the ley lines ran there. So I was like, and my sister straight away went, it's okay. Like, she's like, we absolutely have to go there. If you've had this dream and made that connection, we have to go. And when the tour guide was leading us up these steps on this, it's literally goes up, it's so high. It's a beautiful space. The energy was incredible. And we're walking up the pathway and just out of, you know, just like it was nothing, he kind of goes, oh, and that's the chapel where Joan of Arc received her visions. And I was like, what? Like, I had no idea. And so I went and sat in her chapel, and just the energy was so incredible. And I've always been drawn to her ever since I was a child. I just thought she was amazing. I thought that she really was so incredible in her time to have people follow her, to be brave, to have been chosen, you know, like Archangel Michael came to her. She received these visions, and just to have a conversation with her about what that was like and, you know, how she dealt with that. And, you know, she obviously went through so much persecution, and just to have those conversations with her about the connection she must have had and the faith and the trust and the courage to listen to what she was being given by this divine entity, and then trusting and having enough faith to follow it against all of the odds and leading so many people in the way that she did. And I just think she's phenomenal. And I've really, from the stories that I heard as a child and the shows that I watched, I was always fascinated by her. And then to be led to this place to sit in her chapel, it was just phenomenal. And if I could spend time with her asking her some of those questions, it would be truly amazing, because she's inspired so many women, really, in even now still, to be able to speak our truth and to stand up for what we believe is right and to be connected to a higher power and listen to that internal intuition and our internal guide and our internal voice to take action in our lives when a lot of people around us don't naturally support us in doing that. We're not naturally supported to be ourselves, and to still have the faith and courage to do that in spite of what they're outcome of that might be, the people that we might lose or the friends that we might lose or the judgments we might get. I just think she's phenomenal.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about Joan of Arc so passionately before. I'm like, I want to connect with Joan of Arc now. Being French, of course, she's such a big part of our history. And I think this is what happens, guys, when you are connected to yourself, when you give yourself the opportunity to meditate and receive the guidance and wisdom, you will receive inspiration, just like you had, Kieran, with the map and the dream, and you had no idea it was going to lead you to Joan of Arc in some way, but you just went with it. And this is what I feel is so beautiful about the universe. Sometimes we just don't understand why we're receiving something and what it's going to mean. But if we give it momentum, because that's the part people miss, it's the giving it momentum part, then what unfolds is so much more than we could have ever expected. So I really love that story. And, you know, I know that you also have mediumship abilities. So I'm sure you could connect with her, right, and see what she's got to say. I just love it. One of the things I wanted to also ask you is, what do you see as being the best part about working with spirit? And what words of encouragement would you give someone who kind of wants to step into this path? Because I know for you at first, you were quite resistant. So for anyone that's maybe feeling that, you know, what's something you could share for them to give this a go?
So I guess for me, I rely so heavily now on my connection to spirit. And, you know, when I'm not feeling certain or I don't, you know, my pathway is not clear, I can just take myself back to feeling their presence around me and feeling their support and hearing them say to me, you know, everything's working out, everything's going to be okay, just trust us. And so I will just settle back into whatever it is I'm doing in that day and let go of the need to know what the outcome is going to be. And this is where I think a lot of people, when they start out on this, get stuck because they want a guarantee that it's going to work for them. All right, universe, I'm hearing your call. I want to step into this, but I'm only going to do it if you can promise me X, Y, and Z. If you can promise me and guarantee me that I'm not going to fall flat on my face. I've fallen flat on my face plenty of times. And so
can I just also say, we all have. We've all fallen on our faces, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's
part of the journey.
Absolutely. So very true. And so what I find is that the universe will support us, spirit will support us if we trust and take on the steps and the actions to connect with them, to connect with the universe. You know, I often say to people, if a bird is your symbol and when you see a bird, it makes you feel like, oh, you get that initial reaction that, oh, okay, I'm being watched over, or oh, okay, I'm on the right path. Start saying thank you every time you get one of those little signs from the universe. And this will actually help to increase your connection to the universe because the universe is constantly wanting to communicate with us. I often say, who am I to say that I know better than the universe what is best for me? That would be saying that, you know, I'm the source of all that is, and I know more than anybody else what is right for me. I'm not that person. I don't have that foresight. I don't, you know, I know on a soul level, I know what my divine plan is, but as this human part of myself, I don't always know. Sometimes I'm flying by the seat of my pants, and I'm just trusting that if I follow what I'm being guided to do and that I'm coming back to my heart and I'm listening to my inner wisdom, that even though if I don't know what tomorrow looks like, I'm being guided through love for whatever is for my highest good. And it's when we try and control the outcome, it's when we want that guarantee, that that's where an internal block will come up. And so I always say to people, just start out, obviously through meditation is a way to connect to that aspect, to connect with spirit. But more so, each time that you recognize something that's synchronistic that's happening in your life, for example, you wake up today and you think, I wouldn't mind learning about auras. I'm just using an example. And then later on in that day, as you're scrolling through Facebook or you're having a conversation with somebody, something will come up. Somebody will come into your awareness that will actually speak about auras. And this will prick your ears up because you'll go, oh, I was just thinking I wanted to do that. This is the universe's way of communicating with you and providing you with what it is that you're asking. And so when you get that, say thank you immediately. Even if your ego mind will want to talk you out of it, it will want to give you a logical reason as to why that's actually occurred, but resist that and just come back to saying thank you. And each time something like that happens that you say thank you for it, even if you're not 100% sure, that doesn't matter. Just say thank you. You're then actually attuning yourself more intensely to the frequency of the universe, and this will begin to increase your connection. And it's fun.
Oh, it sure is. I love working with the universe. And what I love is how it brings just people into your life. And you're one of those people. I'm so grateful the universe kind of went, ta-da, here's a beautiful friend and mentor and just support for forever. And I know that there'll be a lot of people who will want to connect with you, Karen, that I will link it up anyway. But where can people find you?
So my business name is Holistic Essentials Therapy and Consulting, and you can find me on the website under that name, on my Facebook page, Holistic Essentials Therapy and Consulting, and on Instagram, Holistic_Essentials_.
So beautiful. Oh my gosh. I love you so much. And I feel that you have this incredible passion for life, for humanity, and it just oozes out of you so naturally, so effortless. Like I said, you are a wonderful representation of what a light worker essentially is and does. And it's just so nice to be soul sisters and to have the privilege to be in each other's life and be part of each other's journey. So I'm so grateful to you, my beautiful friend.
Thank you so much, beautiful. I feel the same way. And I'm, you know, the universe never makes a mistake, and it always brings the right people to us that meet us where we're at to support us. And I have so much respect and love for you also and all that you're doing. So thank you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And as you feel the love from Karen right now, it just outpours from her. It's just so beautiful. I know that you're doing your best to do incredible things in your life, and you're doing the work to heal yourself and others in the planet. So as we rise with love, remember that we rise for ourselves, but we also, in doing that, like Karen said, we rise for others. So thank you for joining Karen and myself. And until next time, everybody, peace, love, and blessings. Melissa.